Chapter 5. To the Pacific. Crossing the Bitterroots was difficult and dangerous. It began snowing. The ground was so slippery that several horses fell. Food was so scarce that Clark named a river Hungry Creek. Sacagawea was still nursing her baby and needed food badly. So did the men. Some were so ill they could barely walk. The hungry travelers had to kill and eat a few of their horses. The mountain crossing lasted until late September. On the prairie below, the explorers met many Nez Perce Indians. They traded with them for food. They stuffed themselves with berries, dried salmon, and bread made from camas roots. Captain Clark was one of those who ate too much. "I am very sick today and puke, which relieves me," he wrote. Now that they had crossed the mountains, the explorers did not need their horses until their return trip. The Nez Perce agreed to take care of the animals until then. Near what is now Orofino, Idaho, the travelers made 5 new canoes. In early October, they resumed their journey. They paddled on toward the Pacific Ocean. Once again, they ran out of food. They bought 2 dozen dogs from Indians and ate them. In what is now eastern Washington, they reached the Columbia River. All along this great river they met Indians. An all-male group would have alarmed the tribes. But when the Indians saw Bird Woman and Pomp, they welcomed the travelers. "No woman ever accompanies a war party," Clark explained in his journal. As they neared the Pacific, rain began to fall. It rained day after day. The Columbia River grew so wild that the voyagers felt seasick. Huge logs, dashing against the shore, nearly crushed their canoes. The rain filled their boat and rotted their clothing. Also, there were fleas. The fleas got inside what was left of the voyagers' clothes. The men were so itchy that they took off their rags and rode naked. Then came the moment they had long awaited. They could smell the ocean. On November 7th, 1805, they saw the ocean. Sacagawea and her baby had come more than 2,200 miles for this sight. For nearly a month, the explorers camped along the Columbia River's north shore. They were looking for a good place to spend the winter, but the rain did not let up. The men had trouble finding wood dry enough to start a fire. Bird Woman could not keep herself and Pomp warm or dry. One evening in late November, a Chinook Indian chief visited the camp. He wore a cape made of sea otter skins. Lewis wanted that cape. The explorers had spent all of their blue beads. Lewis offered the chief 2 blankets for the cape. "I would not trade my coat for 5 such blankets," he answered. Then the chief saw Sacagawea's beautiful belt of blue beads. He wanted it as much as Captain Lewis wanted the cape. Bird Woman was forced to hand over her belt. Lewis got his cape. The captains gave Sacagawea a blue cloth coat in exchange. But her treasure was gone. By late November, the explorers had to pick a site for their winter quarters. They took a vote. Everyone, including Bird Woman and Clark's slave, York, voted on where to build their fort. This was one of the rare times in this period of history that a woman or a slave was allowed to have an equal vote with white men. Sacagawea wanted to move to the other side of the Columbia River. A tasty root was available there. "Janey in favor of a place where there is plenty of wapato," Clark wrote. Most of the men also wanted to move across the river where they could hunt elk. The expedition crossed the Columbia. As they did, they passed from Washington to Oregon. Near present-day Astoria, Oregon, the explorers began to build their winter home. They called it Fort Clatsop because the Clatsop Indians lived nearby. Most of December 1805 was spent building Fort Clatsop. They had picked a good spot. There was enough wood to build the fort, It had 6 rooms, each with a fireplace. The land was high enough to keep from flooding in the constant rain. Elk were plentiful. These animals provided meat as well as skins for new clothes.